This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. I would rather be assassinated on this spot than surrender it. This is President-elect Lincoln on his way to D.C. to be inaugurated. Speaking early on the morning of February 22, 1861, on George Washington's birthday, in Old Independence Hall, Philadelphia, where he is to raise the flag. To Lincoln, this is a sacred event at a sacred place. Philadelphia was our first capital, Independence Hall, our first capital building. His new guard, Allen Pinkerton, had told him that he definitely could be killed that morning. They had tracked down multiple assassination plots. Yet Lincoln insisted that he be at Independence Hall on that morning to raise that flag, to celebrate his boyhood hero George Washington's birthday, and to do it all in this first American Capitol building. It was there that he interrupted his prepared speech to say, "I would rather be assassinated on this spot than surrender it. It is the flag, the ritual event and place, and most, the country dedicated to the worldwide principle of liberty for all." To be there was more than rational. His emotions, the meaning of his words, the potential sacrifice, all add up to the theme of this program, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln. This was his courage to be faithful to something he knew to be sacred. The people there felt to be sacred. The political liberty that was a hope, as he said, to the world for all future time. This is eternal for him. What did the building and the flag have to do with it? Lincoln's speech begins with, "I am filled with deep emotion at finding myself standing here, in this place, where were collected together the wisdom, the patriotism, the devotion to principle, from which sprang the institutions under which we live." He makes it personal. "I have never had a feeling politically that did not spring from the sentiments embodied in the Declaration of Independence. This is the spiritual life of Lincoln." So he presents himself this proposition. If this country can be saved on the principle of liberty, then, he says, he will be one of the happiest men in the world. And if it cannot be saved through the principle of liberty embodied in the Declaration of Independence, then, he says, it will be truly awful. And that is when, after suddenly stopping and bowing his head, he adds, "I was about to say, I would rather be assassinated on this spot than surrender it." He would rather lose his life than lose a country that lost its liberty and what that liberty means to the people of the world for all future time. Later that day, Lincoln, at the state capitol in Harrisburg, speaks with light humility to the General Assembly about his role in that somber early morning event in Philadelphia. He says that he was allowed the privilege of standing in Old Independence Hall. He says, quote, "Our friends had provided a magnificent flag of our country," and that he had been given the honor of raising it to the head of its staff, and that he was pleased that it had went up to its place there by the strength of my own feeble arm. Now, we know from his axe-holding demonstrations that his arms were anything but feeble. But he is humble about this ritual, this place, the flag. What is it about flags? You know, as kids, we play capture the flag. Obviously, it isn't the flag we want, but what it means to be able to capture it. I knew a woman in Belfast whose father had a piece of his father's American flag. Having been captured in the battle on the first day of Gettysburg, his unit had torn up their flag and each hid a piece of it so that the Confederates couldn't get it. They promised to reunite the flag if they lived. America planted the first flag on the moon. At military funerals, a spotless new American flag is draped over the casket and then folded into a tight triangle and given to the family. Flags are signs by which we symbolize sacred values. For Lincoln, he hoped it would represent the value of liberty for the people of the world. A theologian, H. Richard Niebuhr, writes this about using the image of the flag. He writes, "The Puritans, Pilgrims, Quakers, with their associates, were first of all loyalists. They were loyal to what they considered, to use G.K. Chesterton's phrase, the flag of the world. They were convinced that this flag represented power and law, as well as benevolence in which men could trust when they had lost confidence in their own goodwill and in that of their church and state. They were protesters and dissenters only because they desired to be loyal to the government of God," he writes. And that was their positive unifying allegiance, despite their many quarrels. Lincoln concluded his remarks at the Pennsylvania Capitol praising the cooperation of the people who had arranged the flag-raising event, of which he had said he was their humble instrument. "And if I can have the same generous cooperation," he said, "of the people of this nation, I think the flag of our country may yet be kept flaunting gloriously." That was his invitation to generous cooperation then, and it can be to us now, so that, like Lincoln, we can be lighted down in honor to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.